Hey, well, good morning. Owen, welcome to everybody who is watching online. Given the temperature today, it was probably a good choice. Anyway, and good morning again to all the warriors. We did it. Anyway, my name is Paul Jorgensen. I have the privilege of serving as interim pastor during this time of transition for Timberwood Church as you're between permanent lead pastors, and I'm looking forward to it. My experience has been is that God does tremendous things in times of transition and times of change, and I fully expect that now, that we are going to experience God in new ways, and that is a wonderful thing. I live in Bemidji, and during the week I do have a day job. I work at Mokahum Discipleship Ministry, which is a discipleship ministry for Native American believers, and I will continue to do that Tuesday through Friday, which means I will be here in Nisswa on Mondays and on Sundays and on Mondays. And if you'd like to talk, if you'd like to visit, if you'd like to pray together, I will be here, be available Sunday afternoons and Sunday evenings and Monday afternoons. And if you want to get together and talk, you can simply contact Joy in the office and she can set up a time for you. And I'm very much looking forward to that, because not only will God work in the lives of the people of this church, he'll work in my life as well. And hopefully at the end of this experience, I'll be more like Jesus too, which is really what I want. I've sat through a lot of sermons. I'm not very good at remembering whole sermons, okay? I think most of us aren't. But what I try to do is I try to look for the nugget, the one thing in the sermon that I'm going to be able to act on. Because my experience has been is that if I don't act on it, it's probably not going to stick. And we are now in the Advent season, as was already mentioned. And during Advent here, we focus on sort of four things. We focus on hope, we focus on peace, we focus on joy, which is today, and then we focus on love. And you've heard sermons on hope and on peace. I did too. My nugget from what Eric shared 2 weeks ago was that we can give each other hope. And if I'm lacking hope, that isn't the time to isolate. It's the time to connect with other people and allow their hope to bleed over into my life. And that was a really, really good thing. Last week, Matthew talked about peace, and I want to make sure I get this right. And I told him he can correct me if I get it wrong. But the whole idea that the Holy Spirit communicates to us that we are exactly where God wants us to be. And that was good. That was good for me to hear. But anyway, we're talking about joy today. And I thought, I'm going to do some asking. So I talked to people all over the place the last couple of weeks. Said, how would you define joy? The answers were all over the map. Okay? All over the map. Everywhere from going crazy and bringing down the rafters to calm delight. Okay? Everything in between. And I asked people, you know, how do you get joy? And people, it was interesting, discovered from listening to people is that joy doesn't happen in a vacuum. And I took a look at the Word of God and realized that in the Word, even in the Word of God, when it says be joyful, it's always tied to some kind of truth. And that led me to think that joy is actually a byproduct of truth. And as we focus on truth, and as we focus basically on the truth of who God is, his character, and we focus on his actions, the result can be joy. Many times we get told we should be joyful, and we go, okay, how do I do that? I mean, you know, it's hard to tell people how to feel. But we can focus on the truths that give us joy. And I'd like to ask you to do this. I'd like to ask, think right now about the character of God, the actions of God. What is it about God that gives you joy? What is it about God, his character, or his actions that give you joy? And this is what I'd like to do. I may get fired after this, but that's okay. I don't mind. I got a day job. I'm going to ask you, somebody, does something come to mind that you wouldn't mind just kind of yelling out? And you're going to need to yell out to me, because if you're a couple of years here, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about playing drums back in the day, and basically the insides of my ears are silly putty. But I'll do my best, and then I'll try to repeat it so that everybody can hear. So anybody, you have something that about God that just gives you joy today? What was that? Promise? God's promises, they give you joy. That's great. What else?
Faithfulness.
Oh boy, now I'm in trouble. What was that?
His steadfastness.
God's steadfastness gives you joy. That's marvelous. What else?
When I screw up, he loves me.
When you screw up, he loves you. Okay, that's great. That's all right. Good. What else?
Fulfillment.
What do you mean by fulfillment? I'm just curious. What God promises, he makes come through. That's so good. This side of the room is preaching the sermon for you guys. I hope you know that right now. So anything else? Just a couple more things. His goodness. God's goodness gives you joy. That is great. Even when times aren't necessarily good, God is good. Yeah.
Faithfulness.
God is faithful. Absolutely. One more time. You know, walk into the back, probably I'm going to go out of focus with the cameras, but who cares? Yeah, what was that?
Faithful.
God is absolutely faithful. And all those things are true. And you know, we've been focusing on his character, which is so true, and some of the things he does. But just think about some of these things. God saved us. We already heard that. Great joy. Why? Because a Savior has come. God broke into history. God works out everything for our good, even though it doesn't feel like it. He works out everything for our good. Now, this is something that I noticed here, okay? As I began doing that, maybe it's a little different. Maybe you guys are used to that stuff. I really don't know. But I noticed the mood of the room kind of lightened a little bit. You notice that? That's okay. And maybe one thing we can do this Christmas season, maybe a great gift, is to tell other people what we appreciate about God, our Heavenly Father, either his character or his actions, and tell others about those actions. One of the things that, one of the verses I looked at in the Word is from James 1:3, which I'm sure that you've read. Consider it pure joy whenever you encounter trials of various kinds, because you know that it brings perseverance. And let perseverance have its full effect so that we become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Many times in the Bible, joy is spoken into difficult situations. And I'd like to read to you from the passage that was already mentioned today in the book of Luke. And if you've got one of the Pew Bibles, it's on page 857. But let me just read. This is about the shepherds. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. Ever been filled with great fear? I have. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those to whom he's pleased." Great joy. After thousands of years of preparation, the Savior is finally breaking into history. And that's worth rejoicing. That's worth, even if going through difficult times. And back then, being a shepherd wasn't easy. But when we focus on the truth of who God is and what God is doing, it can result in joy. Back in 2003, I got asked to teach at a Bible school as part of a teaching team in Russia. And everybody else got to go to the Ukraine. This was in January. They sent me to Siberia. And I asked him, I said, why am I going to Siberia? I said, well, you're from Minnesota. You can handle it. Yeah, actually, what we're experiencing today is basically what every day was like there. Anyway, I taught this class, and it was about 30 pastors. These were guys who had all become believers in Russia, and they nobody told them that you were supposed to go to seminary or Bible college before you started church. They just started churches, okay? So we're kind of doing catch-up with them, and it was my job to take them through Matthew to the end of Acts in 3 weeks. That was what I was supposed to do, okay, teaching through an interpreter. And I decided to actually start at the end of the book of Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, and to take them through the 400 years between the end of Malachi and when John the Baptist shows up, when we don't know if God revealed anything at all, but we know he was at work in the Middle East preparing it for his son. And so I started teaching on this, and there were two guys sitting over on my right. All of a sudden, they started talking with each other. Now, this is in Russian. Okay, I don't speak Russian. So I asked my interpreter, I said, what's going on? What are they talking about? And the interpreter said, oh, they're just being rude. Okay, well, that's not very helpful for me as teacher. So basically, I said, no, I need to know what they're talking about. He said, well, they're just talking about how God used the communist regime for the last 70 years to prepare Russia for the coming of the gospel. And I'm going, what? And we got to talk about this. And so we started talking about it, and they started sharing what they had seen and how even in the midst of persecution and difficulty and oppression and injustice and all those things, God was changing the landscape so that the gospel could come. Guess what happened in the room? Joy. Many of these men had been to jail for what they believed. And yet they were focusing on the truth. And because they focused on the truth, there was great joy there. So if we want to have joy, it doesn't start out by saying, dear God, please give me joy. Or start focusing on the truth about God, who God is. Now, the second thing I want to mention about joy is this. We have to choose it. You say, wait, you just said it's a byproduct. I said, yeah, but we have to choose what we're going to focus on because it's really easy for us to get distracted and to forget. It's easy to get distracted and forget. This is pretty human. We all do it. In fact, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, I'd like to read that. It says this, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. In other words, make a choice in terms of what we're going to focus on. Seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. In other words, I'm going to choose what I'm going to focus on. Today's a good example in Minnesota. I guess we could focus on, it's 23 below this morning. Or say, hey, my car started. It's a good thing. I'm glad of that. A lot of people here today. Could have stayed home. Those are all good things to focus on. Focus on the things of God. And when the temptation comes to focus on other things that may very well be part of the circumstances of our life, we choose. This isn't denial. This is just focusing on what's really true, who God really is. And that's why I appreciated so much what was shared in the room. That was good. That was powerful. We were giving glory to God. It is easy, though, to get distracted. I had the opportunity to preach in a church once, guest speaker, and got all done. They wanted me to wear a sport coat, which I almost never do, but I did that day. And a woman came up to me after the service, and she said, I don't want to tell you this, but... Whenever somebody says, I don't want to tell you this, but, you know what, they're going to give you a shot. You know that. And she said, you know, you're missing a button on your sport coat. Maybe some nasty car door or something like that. Who knows? You know? Yep, it was gone. She said, I couldn't think about anything you were saying because I couldn't get my concentration off that missing button. That just made me sad. Yeah. I don't claim to be the sharpest pencil in the box, but you know what? We were opening the Word of God and talking about it. And God had a message for her that. God had a nugget for her that day, and she couldn't hear it because she was focused on a missing button Okay. And we all laugh about that, and you know, and that's okay because it is kind of ridiculous. But, and I'll just ask this question, and since I don't know the vast majority of the people in this room right now, I can ask the question. And the question is simply this: have you got a missing button you're focusing on? And it's robbing you of joy. And it's maybe time to turn the focus away from the missing button and focus on God. Focus on Jesus coming to earth. Focus on what God is doing and let God speak to you and let God minister to you and let God help you with whatever that button might be. And I can't speak to that. I know I got my own buttons I'm tempted to look at. We choose joy when we choose to focus on the truth of God. And that brings us to the third thing, is that, at least according to the book of Nehemiah, joy gives us strength. Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra has found the scroll of the law, and he's reading it to the people, and the word of God says that the people are weeping. They're weeping because A, they understand it finally, and B, they're seeing how short they're falling. And so Nehemiah actually goes to the people as they're weeping and as they're grieving, and he tells them this. And this is, actually, we heard this verse this morning too. He says, I'm going to read the whole verse though. He said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. In other words, he was shifting their focus away from how that they had fallen short, which needed to be dealt with, but this isn't the time for that. This is the time to rejoice, because guess what? You just understood the law, you understood the word of God, and now God can work. Change your focus, and the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. It's the joy of the Lord that keeps us going when times are difficult. By focusing on the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 2, or verse 2, it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God." So many times our walk of faith is about what we choose to focus on. And I just want to encourage each one of us in this Christmas season, and you know, Christmas can just get crazy sometimes. We get really, really busy. We have expectations. Sometimes they're met, sometimes they aren't. Sometimes we have office parties, although a lot of offices are getting away from that now because it's just such a busy time. But there's a lot of things going on. But to take the time to really focus on who God is and what he is doing, and then watch the joy happen, which in turn gives us strength. Something jumped out at me this week that I'd never seen before. Maybe it never occurred to me. Maybe everybody in the room already knows this, but it hit me. Luke chapter 2, you go back to that. They visit Jesus, they visit Mary, they have this experience, and I'll start reading verse 16. "They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child." They're talking about what the angels said. "And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." And that says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen, as it had been told them." Yeah, it's great, except I know a little bit about being a shepherd in the first century. That was not easy and very dangerous work. And I know a little bit about the lifespans in the first century. And there's a good chance that none of these shepherds were alive when Jesus started his public ministry. Which means they were rejoicing and experiencing joy based on faith, what God was going to do. And that's a good lesson for all of us. That regardless of what we're going through right now, we can always look to the God who had all these character qualities that we talked about here and trust that he is going to do what he is going to do. He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion on the day of Christ. And I choose to focus on that and allow him to take me through that process. I believe that's the key to joy. I believe, based on what I studied in the Word of God, the more I seek joy, the less joy I'll have. But the more I seek truth, the more joy I will have. And maybe that's true, not just about joy, but maybe about peace, and maybe about hope as well. I want to make a suggestion. I can't make anybody do anything better that way. Carve out some time in the next week and a half between now and Christmas. How much you have to decide, you know. Might just be 10 minutes, maybe 15, maybe half an hour. Maybe you don't have that. Maybe an hour. And we just had an experience here of having a 24/7 prayer chain where people could sign up for an hour. So, and those who found that hour, maybe you can find it again. And just take some time to sit down and be quiet. And shut out the noise and just reflect on who God is, what God has done in your life, what he's doing now, and what you believe he's going to do. And see what happens. See what happens. If nothing else, you'll get a break. And that's not so bad. Anyway. Just a thought for this Christmas season, because all of us want to experience hope and peace and joy. We want to experience joy. I would invite you to take that step and just focus on truth. Truth about God's character and the truth about his actions. One thing I like to do, I mentioned it the last two times I was here, was at the end of a sermon. I encourage people to talk to God and just to say, Lord, based on everything I just heard, what do you want me to do? And then listen to him and see what he says. And I'd like to ask that we do that now. Let's just take that time. Again, here's the question that we ask God. Don't ask me, ask him. Based on everything I just heard, what do you want me to do? Listen to him and then, yeah. After he tells you what he wants you to do, to quote Nike, just do it. Let's take some time, talk to God right now, and then I'll close in prayer. Lord God and Heavenly Father, all the things that were said about you today by the people in this room are true. They're absolutely true. You are good and gracious and righteous, and you keep your promises and you're faithful, and all those things are true. And you are at work. Regardless of the circumstances, you are at work, and we just praise you for that, and we thank you for that. I want to pray now in this Christmas season that you would help us to the extent that each of us needs it, just to come in contact with you, to spend time focusing on you, listening to you, hearing you. And I would ask that in your wisdom, you allow that to have an impact on our lives. And if it's joy, wonderful. We thank you, Father. Thank you for all the good that you have in store for us. Thank you that you never leave us, you never forsake us, and you always accomplish your purposes. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.